Hi, everybody. I'm Riley Daniel, and this is The Next Generation Voter, the only podcast of the next gen, by the next gen, for the next gen. If you guys remember, in March, I talked about how the Trump administration was destroying old precedents and creating dangerous new ones with regards to the trust in science to respond to a public health emergency. Today, the Trump administration is once again destroying precedents with regards to another fundamental American institution. And it's not one that you would expect. In fact, the institution that is on the verge of collapse due to a disastrous law, bureaucratic mismanagement, and the ill effects of the coronavirus pandemic is the most popular government agency in America, with an approval rating of greater than 90%, higher than that of George Washington himself. It's the United States Postal Service. The United States Postal Service, or USPS, actually predates the United States by almost a year. On July 26, 1775, the Second Continental Congress, the same group of men who a year later would draft the Declaration of Independence, established the USPS, with Benjamin Franklin appointed to be the very first Postmaster General. It was based on the British Royal Postal Service, and the new service was quickly embraced by Americans across the colonies. In fact, General George Washington saw the benefits of it as president, seeing it as an effective way to deliver newspapers to people across the country, keeping them informed of news that they would otherwise not know. This success was so imperative to the future of our young nation that it was written into Article 1 of the Constitution, where in Section 7, Congress was given exclusive rights to create a post office, which they did with the Postal Act of 1792, giving the post office sole commercial jurisdiction over postage. At this time, Americans were spread apart great distances from each other, and the post office was the glue that connected these areas together. It effectively transformed a ragtag group of colonies into a nation of states. Our leaders understood that the Postal Service's mission was not to run a profit, but instead to function as a universal service, something that should and would be available to all Americans at an affordable price. As America slowly expanded over the course of the next two centuries, the post office was always there to deliver letters, packages, and even in a few rare occasions, people. No matter what obstacles lay in their path, postal workers kept trudging through, even using boats to transport mail to 19th century South Florida and dog sleds to reach the Arctic reaches of Alaska. As a result of this determination, the post office became defined by the unofficial motto etched into a 1914 Manhattan postal building: "Neither snow nor rain, nor heat nor gloom of night, stays these couriers from the swift completion of their appointed rounds." In fact, for the first 230 years of America, the only thing that could stop mail from reaching a house was Sunday. However, in 2006, Maine Senator Susan Collins sponsored and shepherded through the Postal Accountability and Enhancement Act, which was the first reorganization of the Postal Service since 1971. This act required the post office to fund in advance the health benefits of postal workers for the upcoming 50 years. Yes, you heard that correctly. 50 years. I guarantee you that some of the people who receive these benefits 50 years from now are not even alive yet. As will shock precisely none of you, no other private entity or government organization follows this prepaid system, mainly due to the fact that it's pointless and ineffectual, and benefits precisely nobody. In fact, Congressman Bill Pascrell recently wrote about it, calling the act a blunder, one of the worst pieces of legislation Congress has passed in a generation. That's saying a lot, considering that in this generation, Congress has passed such lauded laws such as the Patriot Act and the Iraq War Resolution. In fact, of the $160.9 billion in debt the post office has accumulated, $119.3 billion of it is due to these pay advances. To be fair, I'd have a hard time not going into debt if I was limited in business opportunities and forced to pay retirement benefits for infants too. It's no wonder that the post office lost $9 billion last year and is on pace to break 11 this year. It's like asking the Army to spend its money on uniforms for soldiers who will serve in the year 2100. As a result, the post office has asked for changes and more funding from the government to keep up with the necessary requirements. What has happened since wasn't exactly what they were looking for. Earlier this year, Donald Trump appointed Louis DeJoy, a businessman who had donated millions of dollars to Republican candidates for office, to be the next Postmaster General of the United States, the first Postmaster General since 2001 to be appointed without any prior experience at the USPS. In fact, DeJoy was not even a member of the initial list of possible nominees for the position, and was actually only considered at the bequest of John Barger, a Republican member of the Post Office's Board of Governors. When he spoke to members of Congress regarding the hiring process of Postmaster General DeJoy, David T. Williams, the former vice chair of the USPS Board of Governors, said that of the list of candidates for Postmaster General, DeJoy was the least qualified. Additionally, there were concerns with a possible conflict of interest that DeJoy may have, considering he received an income of between $1.2 and $7 million from sitting on the board of XPO Logistics, a company that provides logistical support to the post office during busy periods. Normally, such conflicts of interest would be cleared up in the high-level background check normally required for such position. However, Williams has claimed that this check did not appear to have been completed with DeJoy. That is fundamentally scary. It's absolutely the prerogative of the president to appoint whoever the hell he wants to be Postmaster General, but he owes it to the American people to conduct proper checks to make sure that his appointee isn't doing the job for personal gain. However, instead of doing so, the administration has only placed more undue influence on the affairs of the post office, to the point where Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin was warned by the General Counsel of the USPS that his interference with the appointment process and decisions of the Board of Governors was illegal because, quote, another department cannot impose its will on a department of the federal government, which, the instruction, according to Williams, was subsequently ignored by Mnuchin. As a result of these changes being imposed, Williams resigned his seat on the Board of Governors in April, one day before DeJoy was officially appointed as Postmaster General. In his congressional testimony this week, he fairly accurately wrapped up these events by stating that the administration was politicizing the Postal Service. A scary thought due to the profound importance this completely nonpartisan department has on the lives of millions of Americans. The Post Office's responsibilities don't just range the span of postage, as they are also responsible for helping millions of Americans mail their checks, receive their prescriptions, and even, in many states, mail their ballots. This year, due to the coronavirus pandemic, voters in every state will, at least in some cases, be allowed to vote by mail, leading to estimates that tens of millions of ballots will be entrusted to the USPS, a burden that has some worried about the agency's ability to handle such a high volume of mail at once. These fears have been exacerbated by the recent changes made by DeJoy, such as removing 671 mail sorting machines from USPS plants, most of which were delivery barcode sorters, DBCSs, which can sort 30,000 envelopes an hour. Although 3/4 of these machines had already been designated for removal, the fact that they are being removed just months before what will likely be the most contentious election in our lifetimes, where the post office will have to process ballots in an efficient and accurate manner in order to adhere to the whims of a waiting American public, does not seem the wisest course of actions. Furthermore, when the machines that have been removed were examined closely, there are some very alarming statistics. Of the machines that have been removed, there were 59 in Florida, 58 in Texas, 34 in Ohio, 30 in Pennsylvania, 26 in Michigan, 15 in North Carolina, 12 in Virginia, 12 in Wisconsin, and 11 in Georgia. When 1/3 of the mailboxes removed are found in just 6 swing states, it makes me wonder if this is part of an effort to discourage mail-in voting, especially considering President Trump's outright opposition to the practice due to unsubstantiated claims of voter fraud. In fact, there is serious doubt that the USPS will be able to deliver all ballots in time for them to make the deadlines in individual states, as the USPS at the end of July sent a letter to 46 states and Washington, D.C., saying that it cannot be guaranteed that ballots will be counted on time. I'm sorry. That is simply not acceptable. Our ballots are not a birthday card sent by grandma. They cannot afford to be delivered late, because late ballots could disenfranchise potentially millions of Americans. American democracy has survived countless wars, presidents, conflicts, and criticism. But its power rests on the simple premise that every adult citizen has the right to cast a ballot and that their vote will count. If that is no longer true, then our democracy is in peril. I will acknowledge that in his testimony this week, DeJoy claimed to be highly confident that all ballots mailed during election week that will be submitted by election day so that they will be counted. Even if that ends up being true, this seems like yet another example of the post office making needless changes that have the consequences to create catastrophic problems for America. My advice to you is if you are able to vote this year, try to vote in person, as that does not rely on the post office. And if you, for health or other reasons, cannot do that, then vote by mail as soon as possible and send it off today so that it will be counted toward the future of our democracy. In addition to the removal of machines, DeJoy has also made some other organizational changes to the post office, which have also gone over poorly. Due to the financial troubles that I referenced earlier, one of the first changes made by the new Postmaster General was to eliminate overtime for postal workers. Normally, post office workers work 8-hour days, but they often end up with 10-hour workdays, both due to the sheer volume of mail to deliver and wanting to get 2 hours of overtime pay, which is often important for the postal workforce, which is composed of 40% minority employees and employs over 100,000 veterans. These veterans often rely on this extra money in order to help them afford expenses and live the middle-class life that they deserve. It isn't just the workers who are getting shortchanged by this change, as many Americans have experienced delays in mail service. And for people who live in rural areas, such as 1 in 5 of America's population, where companies like Amazon and FedEx won't deliver, they have no other option to get their supplies. Ohio Senator Rob Portman told a heartbreaking story about one of his constituents, a veteran who was waiting on his prescription inhalers, but due to delays, ran out of it while waiting for it to arrive. And then his insurance said, quote, "You know what? We're not going to pay for another refill to be filled because it's already been shipped through the post office." That is unacceptable. After all that this man has given to our country, the least that he should expect is that the mail will arrive on time, bringing him the inhaler that will allow him to breathe in the freedom he's provided all of us with. Once again, one of America's fundamental institutions is at a tipping point. It seems the post office is on the verge of financial ruin. Workers are facing cuts, job changes, and a hostile work environment. Machines are being shut down, mailboxes removed. Political influence is being applied where it should never be applied. And the very integrity of our ballot is being threatened. The post office has survived through America, through our highs and our lows, and everything in between. So, for those of you who can vote this November, I urge you to go and vote, if for nothing else, to save the post office, to save grandma's card coming in the mail to wish you happy birthday, to save all those college brochures that never seem to stop, to save that prescription for that veteran who really needs it and has no other way to get it, so that once again, he can breathe free.